Adventures of Uncle Jimmy, a Warner Brothers radio production starring William Farnham. Original story and direction by Edward Lynn. Conversation in both the Jedson and Stewart households was Rosalind's coming home from Reno. While Florence and Arnold are meeting the train, Uncle Jimmy, Dorothy, and Johnny are arranging certain things in the living room. As Uncle Jimmy so quaintly puts it,
"Children, you know, I think we could be guilty of rearranging rather than arranging."
"Well, it's about time that some of this furniture in the living room was rearranged anyhow."
"Phew, these stuffed chairs are heavy."
"Overstuffed, Johnny, not stuffed."
"Well, they're heavy anyway."
"It's a case, children, where that chair is both stuffed and overstuffed."
"Uncle Jimmy, I think I'd like the piano out from the wall just a little."
"Hmm?"
"Say, Uncle Jimmy's no piano mover. And I wish you wouldn't boss him around so much. Hey,
Uncle Jimmy, am I bossing you around?"
"Well, Dorothy, dear, if you are, it's nothing that I resent terribly. Makes me feel very much one of the family."
"I know what you mean, Uncle Jimmy. Boy, is that a hot one."
"Oh,
now, Johnny Stewart, you mind your language."
"Gee, Dot, you sound just like Mom now."
"Well, I got all these chairs moved around."
"Well, children, you know, in a way, we're taking our lives in our hands doing this."
"Well, as long as we leave Daddy's pipes in the same place, I don't think he'll mind."
"Oh, but Mother, why, that piano must have been against the wall for at least 10 years.
"Say, let's move all the pictures around, too. That'd be fun."
"Yeah, but no profit if you received a spanking, eh, young man?"
"Gee, Uncle Jimmy, the room seems almost twice as large."
"Mm-hmm. Dorothy, you know, Uncle Jimmy is certainly pleased that you've begun to take such an interest in your home."
"That's the Frankie Prentice influence."
"Oh.
Swell guy, that almost brother-in-law of mine.
Better not let Mom hear you say that. She'd be awfully mad."
"Anybody
home?" "Oh, come in."
"Hello, Mrs. Jedson."
"Come in, Mrs. Jedson."
Dorothy, I wondered if you would let me... Well, land of Goshen, what in the world are you people doing?"
"Oh, just changing everything around. Don't you think it looks well, Mrs. Jedson?"
"My stars, I don't know. Room does look bigger, though, if that's what you're aiming at."
"This room always had wonderful possibilities, but Mom never saw them." "Oh, did you want to borrow something, Mrs. Jedson?"
"Yes, dear. A cup of sugar. Ain't got a minute to get over to the store."
"I'll get the sugar for Mrs. Jedson."
"Thank you, Jimmy.
I wanted a drink of water anyway."
"It isn't a drink of water you want. You want to snitch some cake, I know."
"I'm coming right along with you."
"Oh, delightful innocent. Dorothy will change someday. He's changing a little even now, but that Johnny."
"That's Johnny. You said it, Uncle Jimmy. We'll soon be having our girl home again, won't we?"
"Oh, I've missed Rosalind. You know, when she went away to Reno, something very genuine went out of our lives."
"Uncle Jimmy, if Mrs. Stewart had been home, I wouldn't have run in for the sugar. I don't want to get into any set-to with her, unless I have to.
Oh, I think she's calmed down a little. You know, Norma Foster Lee had quite a talk with her. It's funny how that woman, of all others whom Florence knows, has a certain faculty
of putting Mrs. Stewart in her place without too many words.
Mm-hmm.
That's because Florence Stewart respects Miss Lee. Respect is a wonderful thing, Uncle Jimmy.
Yes, it is, Miss Jetson. Oh, I understand that the preparations are being made at both houses for Rosalind's homecoming.
Well, I let a hint drop to Mr. Stewart that luncheon could be here at this house and dinner at my house.
Well, that's a very reasonable way to settle the meal situation.
I guess you'll be at both of these meals, won't you, Uncle Jimmy?
Oh, yes, indeedy. Happen to know that you're both having some of my favorite dishes. Mrs. Jetson.
Yes?
Just what are you doing about Edith and Bobby?
That worried me no end, too. But Bobby just sort of took the bull by the horns and said he thought it'd be nice if we all sat down together.
Whom did he mean by all?
Rosalind, you, me, Edith, and himself.
Mm-hmm, well, that might work out, providing Mrs. Stewart hasn't tipped Rosalind off that she's suspicious about Edith and her boy.
I'm giving Mrs. Stewart credit for having a few brains. What she'll say after this day is over, I don't know.
Hmm.
But I don't think she'd be aiming to make Rosalind that miserable after the ordeal she's gone through the last 6 weeks.
Mm, poor child.
All right, Mrs. Jetson, here's your cup of sugar.
Thank you, Johnny.
And that'll cost you just 5 cents. Cash, please.
Here, Johnny, now. What are we going to do with you?
Mr. Smarty, Jr., you have to be fresh about everything.
Johnny, I haven't a penny cash to give, but you might come over soon. That is, after about 2 hours and take it out in cookies.
Oh, boy.
Well, I must be going. Oh, here I stand, gabbing away when I got a heap of things to do.
Want me to come over and help you, Mrs. Jetson?
No, thank you, Dorothy. You know Edith's been up since 6 o'clock and taken hold very nice.
Say, Mrs. Jetson sure thinks a lot of Edie.
Edie? Who's Edie?
Why, that's Miss Arden's given name.
Well, Mr. Johnny, you better not let Mom catch you referring to Miss Arden as Edie. Unless you want the fur to fly.
Oh, no harm in that. It's like calling John Johnny and Dorothy Dot.
Yes, but that's Brother Bobby's pet name for Miss Arden. And you know how Mom feels about those two, don't you?
If you can put aside that dust cloth for a minute or two.
I really shouldn't, but...
Well, all Mrs. Jetson can do is fire you. But I'll see the payoff coming, and then you can resign first.
Dear Mrs. Jetson, as of today, please accept my very urgent resignation.
Edie.
Yes, Bob.
I hope you won't feel embarrassed when we're all at dinner tonight.
Embarrassed over what?
Oh, because Roz is back from Reno. And I'm ex-husband, you know. She's ex-wife.
Oh, it may be some little shock to my sensibilities because I'm so fond of both of you. But that'll pass.
And another thing. You know what Mom said about us. Well, maybe she told Rosalind, too.
Oh, I hardly think so. And if she did, Rosalind is such an honest, direct person. She'd come right to me and want to know if there was any truth in the rumor.
Yes, Roz is direct and honest. You know, about the only thing that gives me any peace of mind at all is that we're so darned innocent of the whole thing.
It's so ridiculous for anybody to assume that there could ever be anything between us. In the first place, you're not my type.
Well, that isn't hard to believe. I mean, what with this nose and them ears.
No, Bob. You know, I didn't mean it that way. I was just trying to convince you that...
We could never be anything more than friends?
Yes.
I know that. And, well, you're a sweet kid, Edie. And I get a big kick out of being around you, talking to you. But you're not my speed either. You know how I mean it.
Oh, well, then, we can always be friends and pals.
Yes. And if Mom and Dad ever bring up the subject again of suspicions and so on, why, we can prove it to them.
We certainly can.
And I know it'll make Roz mighty happy to know just how we feel about each other.
Rosalind, I just can't believe that you're actually on your way home to be with us again.
Oh, that 6 weeks was an eternity, Rosalind.
My, it's nice to be missed. It seemed to me that the first week you were gone and the last week were the hardest ones to bear.
They were for me, too. But after I more or less oriented myself and realized it was true that I actually was in Reno, why, I settled down and decided to make the best of it.
You certainly have.
Oh, how did you get on with your typing course, dear?
Oh, just fine. I won't say that I'm the world's best typist, but I can handle a machine. And I gained quite a knowledge of business English, too.
Didn't you take a course in conversational French, too?
Arnold! Oh, Arnold, why don't you look where you're going?
Florrie, I had at least 3 feet to spare. Now, don't do any backseat driving.
Oh, Mother Stewart has the backseat jitters.
She's welcome to the wheel anytime she wants it. Oh, now, about that course in conversational French, dear.
It was a lot of fun. I learned to converse with other members of the class and also the teacher. But very, very simple sentences.
Florrie, didn't you take French once?
Oh, yes, somewhere back in the dark ages.
Oh, so you married me back in the dark ages, huh?
Well, Arnold, weren't you a prehistoric? You had caveman instincts. Well, if you'd like to sort of brush up, Mother Stewart, we'll get together after I get adjusted to being home again.
All right, dear.
I know I'll cry when I see Mother Jensen and Uncle Jimmy and Dorothy and Johnny and everybody. But
well, here we are.
Now, Arnold, you'll have all the neighbors at their windows.
Oh, that's no fun. Let them all come out on the porch or line up on the sidewalks.
Hello,
everybody. Hello.
How are you, dear?
Fine, Uncle Jimmy, fine. Oh, and there's Pal and Lady. Oh, it's just wonderful, wonderful.
Oh, there now.
All right, Rosalind. Gang, come on, get the suitcase. Come on now, hurry up.
Hello, dear.
Jimmy, I can hardly wait to have a long talk with you.
Oh, it's good to have you home again. It's Jesus, very good.
Give me some of those bags. Come on, now, hurry up.
Okay. Come on. Oh, I'm so glad to be home. But I don't see Mother Jensen or Bobby or Edith. Where are they?
Why, they decided to have a little welcome for you all by themselves. A sort of a surprise.
I hope they haven't gone to too much trouble planning this surprise for me.
Suppose that Rosalind feels it mighty strange that both families didn't unite to welcome her? Will Florence be satisfied to keep the unpleasant news of her suspicions from Rosalind? And Bobby and Edith, will they always be just friends?